So hello everybody, this great afternoon. The talk today is about the challenge of going public. This could happen in different ways, I can imagine. It might be just a call you might get from a journalist, or it's because the journalist might just have a general question and you're the expert. It might happen that you publish something and you want to give access to this information to a broader public and think about a press release. It might also happen that your press officer contacts you and wants you to write something or cooperate on a press release or on some initiative they are planning, like showing the public how good science is, things like that. So the talk I want to give today, and is sort of an interactive thing to do. First, I want to introduce you to the so-called instruments of PR. The word is a little bit funny, I think. I always, it reminds me of a dentist or a researcher in a lab that's using instruments, but in the PR language that word is used. It actually just means the ways you can go public. Then I want to discuss briefly the criteria of a press release, and then I will want to give you the chance to do some role play. You will be the editors and you will have a chance to figure out what could be good or bad practice, and then we will discuss it together and find a checklist. And then I want to talk briefly about how to manage the day after a press release and what you might take home with you. So let's start with the instruments of the PR. It's a whole range, and I don't want to go into the things too deeply, but I want to tell you what's behind that. So behind all that, all these options like public talks, press releases, brochures, social media, whatever, name it, you've got it. What is behind it are two questions. And one is, what's your message and who is your target group? And once you've answered these two questions, you might find the right thing to do. For example, if you want to attract students to study science and technology, you might not want to write a press release because it's not your target group. Your message is, science is great and we want to tell it to the students, so you might invite the students, make a public talk, make discussions, do advertisement in the areas where they live, on the buses they use, give them flyers, whatever. Yeah. Or if you need money, don't write a press release. Invite the politicians or the donors and give them a special event, a special person to talk to them, whatever. The press is not your target group. But in case you really are sure that the press is your target group, meaning the public audience, the people that read a newspaper, the people that read, listen to a TV channel, then you might think about a press release, but still you don't have a message. So what is the message? And that's the most important thing and the most difficult thing, actually. The message, you can imagine, if you imagine the average American sitting in his living room, reading his newspapers.
They don't read newspapers.
Well, they don't. They watch TV.
There you go.
And, or they what? They listen, they just scan the web, whatever they do, and the wife is in the kitchen. And he would call out to his wife, darling, did you know that? And then there comes the sentence. It's not long, it's like cancer can be cured, or somebody drowned, or an actor has an affair, or things like that. Pretty short, that's a great message. I mean, you might not always find that, but try to get close as you can, okay? Good. So I put together the things that might be a good message. A good message is it's real news. It's something that you didn't expect. Why else should you call to your wife? it might be a great story and it might have impact on everybody's life. Cancer is cured and so on. Okay, that's it. But now I just want to say a couple of words.
The usual example is not the one you gave. Yours is quite concise. It's the 3-second example. Usual example people give is the elevator. You have to explain your story on an elevator ride of maybe 30 seconds. So you think that's today's media, going for something you can explain in 30 seconds is far too long?
Well, you can practice that in a minute.
Okay.
I give you exactly 30 seconds to understand a press release.
But there's a difference between shouting out a one sentence, did you know,
yes,
that, versus...
No, the key, what I was talking about is the key message. The key message should...
So that's the headline. Okay.
It could be the headline. It should be, if it's not the headline, it should be in the lead. If it's not in the headline and not in the lead, you might have lost the reader already. Then it might be in the first sentence. But it shouldn't be in the last sentence, okay? Because the reader will never get there. So, up to the front. But we will practice that in a minute. Before we do that, and start with our role play, I want to tell you a little bit how your press release, you're just thinking about your message, your target group, it comes to be something real. Then, because it just doesn't happen by itself. So what happens is that you write the piece together with maybe your press person in your institution or somebody who helps you, and then you give it to them and they have to put it somewhere, otherwise the press will not see it, right? And there are different ways what they can do. They can send it to their distribution list. Just the other day I visited the press department here on campus. What they do is they have a distribution list. They have different distribution lists for different kinds of journalists, like science journalists, general public, and so on. And then they feed it into to news services like AP and hope that the press picks it up there. And then they also feed it in the wire services like Rick Alert. I brought just that front page for you. A journalist would be able to, would have access to that one. He just has to put in his name and his password. You have to show that you're a full-time journalist and then you can get in there. They have news by subjects every day where you can find latest news from the different fields, and they also have on that side press releases, breaking news, that's just for the day. I did some calculations. It's about 300 a day. So a journalist that has access to the site would have get about 300. In Europe, we have Eureka Alert as well, but we also use another one, that's Alpha Galileo, but it's about the same. So imagine an editor sitting there getting some hundreds of informations every day. He also gets his own emails, what is probably another, something like 200. So with your press release, you want to be the one he picks. And that's not that easy, but to give you an impression how that is being an editor, I brought you some press releases, and this will be sort of old-fashioned handouts. There are numbers on it, they are not important. You can read it from the front, from the end, from the middle. Maybe I give you some and you give them back. There are always three people. 1, 2, 3. 2, 3. If anybody needs a pencil, something to write, I can give it to you. I brought some. Any pencils? Who needs some?
Use chalks.
Pencils, old-fashioned stuff, nobody carries that around. You're so welcome. Okay, so no matter where you start, I will give you 30 seconds. Don't start. I will give you 30 seconds each, and then about 5 seconds to mark something, write down something, whatever. You can just use your own feeling, what I like and what I don't like. They are not all about physics. Actually, there's only one that is related to physics, because I wanted to be laypersons, right? And you just think what I would like to be. Maybe you're the editor, your favorite newspaper, if you still read one. And you can, you should say, yes, I like that, I want it, I want to know more or not.
So 30 seconds to read all of them.
30 seconds for one. There are seven, the magic number seven, so that would add up to something like 3 minutes. You have to focus on this paper now. But I will tell you after 30 seconds. Are done? Okay? And then we start with the next one. What happened here? Oops.
The connection came out.
Oh. Was too. Okay, it will come back. So, if in case you do not, you need some criteria. I have some criteria here, like what do you think? Do you like it or not? You understand the headline? Is it interesting? Has a lead a message? Would you like to read it in your newspaper? But you don't have to use this criteria. Okay. Okay, and after that we discussed from 1 to 7 what was good and what was not so good. So let's start.
Are we all supposed to read the same one?
We're
all reading the top one.
Okay. Yeah, you start with whatever you want to.
All right, go ahead.
Should we stop?
We are running. And we are done.
Thanks.
So maybe you want to write down something, or are you?
I got through three of them.
Pardon?
You're supposed to go. I got through three of them. I haven't had a chance to read 4, 5, 6, and 7.
I'm only doing one at a time.
Oh, you don't have enough.
Going off.
You don't have another pack.
You want to speed read?
No, I don't understand the exercise.
You don't. What the
you
point?
Want to read the first one first?
30 seconds for each, as far as you get. You will not get to the end.
Correct.
This is probably not possible. But only in one case it will be possible to come to the end. But you might know after 30 seconds, an editor would not use more time than 30 seconds, probably only 10, to check is that interesting for me. Okay? But you might figure out when you do some of them, what criteria are, why do you think you like one or you don't? Okay, just give it a try. Okay, so the second page, whichever you choose, would be go. Okay. Don't read more, just write down like it, don't like it, was awful, was great.
Can we write on these? Do you need these back?
No, I don't have. I've got lots of them, so. Okay, next one, let's go. And this is done as well. ready for the next one. Ready? And that's it. So we are now at page four, five. Okay. Do you want to take some notes? No? Everything all right? Then you go. And done. You're using which now?
I suspect many of us have done different things. I thought we were supposed to pick one to begin with, so I started from different back.
Well, we're on number six.
Oh, yeah, six.
Number six. Okay, there are two left. Okay, great. So you're basically trying to read all of them. Okay, good. Let's go. This is it. So here comes the last one. So what do you think? Which one would be in your newspaper? How do you like the first one?
That one would be in mine.
Pardon?
That's the one that would be in mine.
The first one, you like it more? And why?
The headline's pretty good, but the first paragraph is great.
Uh-huh.
Really captured your attention and refers to common experience and something that will interest most people.
Common interest? I like that also. Anybody else like something or dislike something?
Number five to me was the worst.
Yeah, I agree.
Go, Josh.
Tippy, yeah.
Or whatever that is.
Yeah.
I don't think it was what the sentence was about.
Right.
The five was.
Tippy, yeah.
It was like, if you could read
one,
I'd tell you why you're
laughing.
Was that the new television?
No.
That was the computer system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is.
Number five.
Oh, yeah. Whatever that is, right?
Exactly.
Yes. I mean, but this is published as a press release, right? But we come to that one. So anything else you like from at the one? Was common interest?
One was good, but it had some problems too, I think.
Yeah.
It succumbs to what you might call scientism or something like that, where by substituting complicated words that you don't know what they mean, you're hoping to explain something. So I read it thinking, oh, I'm going to understand why I forgot my keys or why I was able to find them if I forgot.
You would expect that, yeah, but it doesn't happen.
The answer was, oh, it happened in the intraparietal sulcus. That's not an answer, right? So it's...
I don't think it's a case of that science attitude. I mean, I think they really care about finding out where things are taking place. Mm-hmm. But from the human interest point of view, all it does is give it a name, yeah. I'd actually read this one. It was online, this particular press release, so I already knew this one.
Yeah, overall, I thought it was good, but...
Well, my remark would be the message. I was looking for the message, and the message is on the end of the second paragraph. So the idea is, where does it take place in the brain? That was the question I had. And I thought it was a little bit late. I had read two paragraphs already, but they were well written, so...
Easy to read.
Yeah, it was interesting, so I didn't really mind, so it was okay. Anything else we have here? Oh, the headline was good, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, the headline was a plus. Okay.
So I felt kind of similarly about number four, the effects of stress can be very intense.
Shall we continue with four, or can we just continue with two? Would that be all right? I mean, I personally don't care, so... So the last one was the next is how bees decide what to be.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the problem. What to be? I thought that was a strange headline.
Yeah. That was strange.
Phrase.
Even though I like bees,
what to be?
Like a donkey? I mean, no,
like a worker or whatever their role is, right?
Yeah, but it's not written very well.
It's not written wrong.
The use of the word reversible in the first sentence. Reversible means different things to different people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you didn't like it. Did you like the headline or not? No, you didn't like the headline.
In the first three lines, you won't explain much. I mean, it's really
cool. I actually like this
one. You like it? Can you say why you liked it?
How bees decide what to be. It's a play on words. It's kind of cute.
Give it a plus.
I understood models. What it meant, but maybe because I studied social insects a little bit. So, you know, they take on roles which are usually lifelong, but here they're saying maybe there's a reversible aspect to it, and it's not in the DNA. It's actually in modifications that are chemical to the DNA.
But the headline is something that makes you stop and want to read more. I mean, it's not so bad after all. So I would say...
I think the first two paragraphs give you a clue as to what the rest of it's going to be about, as opposed to... I mean, this is the one I picked that, you know, if I was editor, this would be something to follow that I might read the whole thing.
Okay, you might continue reading. I was a little bit overwhelmed by DNL methylation tagging. That was sort of, does that really have to be in the, I mean, that's the first paragraph, right? It might be a little bit scientific. So how did you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean,
how does the bee decide whether to be a worker or drone or whatever the options are.
So the lead was not impressing, right? What's that?
Not clear to lay people. Mm-hmm. By lay people, I mean non-bee, you know, non-socially sick
people. Or non. Then, you know, the third paragraph, there is a code 20, and then there are this list of titles which I don't know, like MD, MPH, G-Man Scholar, Professor Molecular, so on.
So the CH3 thing, yeah, I looked up something here, that's the methyl groups, whatever. Okay, you weren't overwhelmed, I would say. So let's start.
This one, I think, if it had been edited, could have been good.
Yeah, could have been better, right?
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that the second paragraph, they say the behavior in question, they haven't identified what the behavior is.
The behavior, what they become, is that what
they're saying? They say the behavior in question, but it's not clear even what they're talking about.
So the language is not that precise.
It's a term of art that they haven't defined. And that's a problem for a lot of cases. They're assuming that people know what they're words.
But is it from public interest? How would you say? Would you read a bit interested? You're editors now. About bees? Bees aren't so bad after all. I mean, Sarah thinks it's.
As an editor, do you have an option of modifying it? Several people have commented on the fact that it could be better presented. If you think the topic is interesting and so
yeah,
forth,
right.
You have the option of making it accessible to.
Yeah, sure, you edit it or you give it to a journalist and say, write a story about it, a cover story. I mean, you don't have to use it that way. The point is you the editor reads that and might be interested in the issue or not. And what you want by producing a press release is to get into the eye of the editor. You want him to grab on it, right? That's why we do that. So. Okay, so this is a plus-minus story. I expected you to give it more plus, but that's okay. So the next one is my favorite, number 3.
I think there's some, at least I'm unclear as to what we're supposed to be doing. Are we supposed to be pretending to be an editor
and
saying that this would be something that we would then write a story on, or are we looking at this from the perspective of this particular press release, and could it be better or worse?
No. Would it be so interesting for you as an editor that you would invest more than 20 seconds of your precious time?
Reading it or making
whatever doing
a story about it?
Doing whatever you want to do as an editor, because there are editors that might just edit it or might do a cover story. So I didn't specify that. Yeah, just it would be interesting for you, or you say no, thanks. Yeah.
But you're not really, you're deciding whether you think would be interesting to the public rather than to yourself, right?
Wait, to your audience.
To your audience, yeah.
But not necessarily this press release, but some follow-up item.
Yeah,
the content of the press release.
Yes.
Right, but that is probably the base you understand it. If I don't understand a press release, I will probably not take the effort to follow it up, right? Okay. Any more comments on the 2? Otherwise, we go switch to the 3.
Well, except for the very last sentence, paragraph, there's no connection to human. The application to people.
2 or 3?
2.
Okay.
Is missing, right? That they're discussing what's going on in bees. Bees are pretty remote from most people's concerns, but at the very end they say, oh yeah, a person's underlying genetic sequence. You know, they switch in the very last paragraph to talking about humans.
So you think the human should have been in the beginning, like the research is doing something really interesting, right?
Well, you know, scientifically 2 and 4 are very similar. They both have to do with epigenetics, but in number 4 they actually start off talking about humans.
Yeah.
And you have to later on, you reveal that, oh, the study was really about flies, right?
Sure.
So so 2 and 4 should be contrasted with each other.
Shall I make a human to the front sign or so?
Well, I'm just noting it. I'm not sure this story has to be measured against humans.
No human.
Well, if it really is that, might as well mention it earlier, because that would definitely be of more interest to humans.
Yeah, right. How is it, how do people decide what they want to be, right? Okay. Anybody wants to make a remark on the 3?
Is this translated from another German? Or is it written in English?
Well, it was probably might even have been written in English. That's hard to say. I don't know.
About the grammar that said that numerical calculations are only available for short evolution times.
Okay.
The penultimate sentence.
I mean, this is scientifically closest.
That are only available for
the
short
closest
time.
To physics thing that is in the pile.
It's highly technical.
Yeah.
Recognition. So, I mean, it's not really likely to understand.
I mean, if you're in the business, you understand it. But, I mean, yeah. General public.
Yeah, would the public be interested in that?
No. It would look like a words, a salad of words. Yeah. And I'm just related to them. Yeah. Even though I know the authors.
Scientific wording again?
It was written for the.
It's written for the scientific public.
Yeah.
And for the search engines, they want to have all the catchphrases. Mm.
Looks like you're looking for the ranking engines.
Good manners, you got them all in. Yeah, maybe for scientific magazines, it's not technical journals, but magazines. Scientific American.
I bet not, but. It's hard to say who is the target group of that. I don't know.
If the target group was physicists, I like it.
Okay, you like it as a physicist?
The four out of the first 5.5 lines are about the people and where they're from, you know, not about the new stuff. I mean,
but this is important.
Five.
And the excellence initiative of the German paper government and so on.
Yeah, but at the beginning, you know, they might not plod past that, I think, if you just have 30 seconds. I don't know.
Well, what was something for me, why I put that in, was the first paragraph, the only paragraph, has three sentences. One is, okay, that's 1.5 lines, right? And then follows one sentence that's called all the way down. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines about. And most of it is a list of institutions.
Yeah, that's what I was.
That kills you. Yeah? So lists of institutions in a beginning paragraph are not very good if you want the reader to continue. Yeah?
That's what I was saying. It's 4.5 lines. It's too much.
Definitely too long. So I would say, that was why I put it in, because I wanted you to see what happens if you do that.
Maybe the entire world. They were simply aiming for the pressing politicians.
Yeah, but they will never read it. They are not the target group. They send it to the press.
Press release.
It's supposed to be a press release. Okay? Any more remarks?
Some headlines better than the headline.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least it stimulates some.
The prominence of the names of the contacts at the bottom actually caught my interest, because Emmanuel Bloch is going to become an advisor on the advisory board of this institute next year. But what I'm saying is that I found that a very clean design, because then it has the contact person, you know, very,
okay.
Despite the muddle in the abstract, it was cleanly presented at the bottom.
Okay. Any more on the three? Otherwise, we can.
It also says complete press release, and there's a link. So this really isn't the press release. This is more the abstract.
This is the first paragraph.
Okay. Yeah. First sentence is good.
Okay. Four?
Yeah, I don't think this was written for the public.
No.
Even though nature, physics, probably wrote it.
It's not.
That's right.
Which one?
Number three.
I don't know. Is it just the abstract?
I think it was from three.
So, three.
I'll be a silver three. Yeah, I guess so. That was the start.
We also a press release.
Well, it is on the press release sites of the university, so.
Well, it's a press release.
It's a press release.
Anybody remarks on the four?
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating.
Okay.
I think the title was misleading, because when I read the title, I felt about hope. What did I inherit from my parents? And then by reading the first paragraph, I was brought to think what I will give to my children. Because he said the stress can be transmitted So, but just by reading the title, I was focusing on, okay, what did I get with the genes?
Yeah, it's part of the play. I mean, if you be able to pass.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's clearly written, but just the headline brought me to.
So you mean the headline is good, but it made you expect more?
Something different.
I mean, something different?
Yes.
Yeah, I also missed that. I really get the explanation now, but I mean, that is happening very often in journalism, that the headlines also promise something.
It's so like a title of talk and upstairs, you know? It promises something, then it will lead to something else.
Well, I like number four. The title is Effects of Stress Can Be Inherited, meaning Lamarckian evolution, not Mendelian, right? So that's really quite surprising, because we've all been taught that, that you know, your phenotype is determined by your genotype. This is saying it's not true in all cases. So it's similar in content to the D story, which was also
the same
about
field,
epigenetics.
Right?
And so I found that, you know, the title got me intrigued, because it already suggested something that was against the paradigm of fundamental biology.
Okay, but actually that was my criticism. I understood from the first paragraph, not from the title. Very thin.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm very far off this field. I didn't understand that from the headline. I understood from the first.
Well, I didn't understand it from the headline, but the headline made me curious. Didn't that happen to you?
Yes.
Yeah. That happened to me.
That was the most enticing one of all of them. Because I'm worried about my kids too.
So we agree on the headline was something that made me want to read more.
Too likely. I'm going to start making my kids' lives easier so that my grandkids come up there.
Well, what else? It's well written, so the language was okay, or was it too complicated? Or the lead was also okay. The lead, you said you understood?
The sentence is not good.
Is there relevance for the audience? Yeah? Well, I mean, it says it, yeah? It says the researchers expect that this finding in flies has relevance for humans. At least they tell us, so. So that is our favorite one until now.
I thought one was better just because the first paragraph pulled you in.
One was better?
From my perspective. Yeah, this was my second favorite.
So you give that an extra plus from you?
One where you can actually read a full paragraph and feel like you're being, I made you read it, the first paragraph pulled you in, and now maybe you've forgotten what was on your mind beforehand,
because
you've got
15 seconds. Yeah, that's a problem because it's so fast. You overlook it. Sorry, I think. Okay, number five, you have to speed a little.
And number five, we're done. Yeah.
Got it. Something to say. Number five is all. Time of disaster.
So you don't want to discuss that one?
Okay. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, well. I just thought it's very interesting that things like that get sent to the press. So they're really in the mailbox of editors, of journalists, and people expect that things like that are recognized and read, right?
Are they ever picked up?
Probably not. But what happens if you know the institution that sends you that stuff? You might put that address in your spam box after a while, if that happens very often. I say, I don't want to read it anymore, okay? So that can't happen. Okay, number six was better again, I guess. Six, five got the minus.
Again, the headline is not very revealing.
You didn't like it too much?
I'm kind of curious, but it's kind of tells at me.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. The phrase chemical kaleidoscope is a nice phrase, but gives no. It's almost impossible to figure out what it means. even after reading.
Right, it wouldn't really pull you into reading.
A little. I mean, I was curious to see, oh, could I figure out what a chemical kaleidoscope is?
It's a mystery, right?
It's a little mystery.
It's a mystery, but it's too vague.
Okay, so the headline should be more precise that I really understand what the article is about, right?
So the first line has drug screening in it, and that certainly is.
And that would pull you to read more, or?
It's a subject that's very broad.
So the lead was okay, the first paragraph?
I didn't like the fact they talked about dynamic compound libraries because we don't know what that is.
Oh, okay.
I think it's explained a little bit farther down better, which is to say that you can now test for more than one compound at once, even if it's low concentrations.
Okay. So again, the wording is too scientific, yeah? It doesn't explain itself. Okay. Can we just look at the last one and then? Because I really want to be done by 3 o'clock. I promise.
I wasn't sure this one was written by an English speaker.
Probably not.
It is
probably Spanish.
It doesn't sound grammatical. I had to figure out if they're introducing some very clever English construction that I wasn't aware of, or. To me, the new television must listen to its audience is almost ungrammatical. The new television doesn't sit well.
I did like the touch of persecution complex in this one. Well, the Spanish media industry doesn't want to use his technique because they're keen to perpetuate the system.
Well, was it in any way interesting? Would you like to read more if you read the title and the first paragraph?
Does everybody in Europe know what TDT means?
No, of course not. I Googled it, actually. It means Tucker Davis Technologies. That was the first choice. Second one is TDT Wikipedia is a digital television station in Tasmania. The third one was TDT News is Temple Daily Telegram. Interesting. And then there is, it also can be terminal disoxynucleate transferase. And the third one, the fifth one is it? Television digital terrestre. That was it. So no, I don't think that any editor would Google what it means.
They never defined it.
No, you don't find it. It's not in that article. They were so involved in their science and their technology and their new finding and how wonderful it is that you just forget to tell us. So shortcuts in the lead are awful. Yeah. They stop you reading. That was what I wanted you to experience, because it might happen to you as well if you were in your field and you use these shortcuts all day, and of course you know what it is, and of course for you it is obvious what you mean with all these quantums and equations, but it might not be for the particle.
My experience with the press office here on campus is that we never get through. They'd insist that you
right. Yeah, that should be their job. Yeah, it should be their job, but not everybody might have such a great press office. Okay, I have prepared a list for you. It's probably very close to what we did here on the blackboard. You will find this in the web if you want to look it up. I want to go just to the right side to make it a little bit easier for you to memorize. I want to tell you how to write a really bad press release that nobody ever will pick up and read. Start with the headline and make it really incomprehensible. Then write a lead where you definitely have no message in it. And maybe you just start there to use a very scientific language and write all the colleagues that are involved in your work with their home institutions. The longer the better, okay? I make long sentences, maybe 8-9 lines, sounds good. And if you have an important message, put it in the end. Nobody would ever read it. And no application and impact on people's lives. Then you are absolutely sure it will be not read by any editor.
Would you encourage people to use this as a way to discover whether your press officer is paying attention? Just to send them one of these? You could write an intentionally bad press release as a scientist and send it to your press officer when you get home to discover whether or not they actually are doing their job.
Yeah, right. That would be an idea, right? You do that and then they tell them you edited.
Maybe they'll love it and then you've learned something.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, they should be professionals. But so now you know what you have to do. I mean, you make a comprehensible headline and so on. You've done a great job, and now it happened. You've done it. Your press release is out, and you gave your best. And now the day after comes. And I picked this wonderful movie title, because not always it is the way you want it. But I want to discuss that briefly. So in case you were successful, so there might be some coverage. So people might call you, write you emails. It might be quite good if you are somewhere where you can be reached. It's quite bad if you publish a press release and you're gone for a conference or you're in an airplane and people can't reach you for a couple of days. So this is that's a disaster, okay? So you should be somewhere within reach. And you will be quite astonished what happens where this press release pops up on the other side of the world in a completely different context on websites you have never seen before, maybe with a brand of your home institution on it. And yeah, so some funny things happen, but it's a challenge and it's fun. And there also can be misunderstandings. Yeah, I think I have that minute to tell you. A friend of mine, she works in a press office, and they launched a press release about a new technology. It's mini helicopters that are equipped with cameras. And actually, these mini helicopters are quite nice, and they were very proud of what they did. And they found an application because some weeks before we had, it was, how is that called? The homosexual street party. Yeah, it was a gay party we had in Oliver Street Day or something like that, or how is it called? Anyway, they had a gay party and it was too crowded and something happened that the people didn't get out and it was quite a disaster. And they used that application saying, now we've got the technology to give it to the security people. We can watch everybody from above and these helicopters are just wonderful for that. And if there is a problem, the security people can be there in no time. So that was her intention, and she did read that press release, and she sent it out, but the press did something different with it. They said, oh, this is a technology that they use like a Big Brother technology to watch people and figure out who went to that demonstration or party or festival. And this is awful. And one started, it was a local newspaper that started, and it went all over the place. All the big the TV channels covered that story, how awful that little helicopters. And actually what they did was only a demonstration. They didn't film anybody. So it was, that can happen, but you are so good it will not happen to you. You never know. Just a short glimpse behind the scene. You might, after you released or your press office released a press release, you might want to know how good or bad it was. And you can figure that out by measuring how many people used it, picked it up, and how many TV channels covered it or newspapers. There is a professional media monitoring that some organizations have. here on campus they don't have it. They say it's too expensive, what is actually right. It's incredibly expensive because somebody has to try to cover and find your keywords all over the web and in the newspapers, and so it's quite expensive. Here they do it just by hand, like Googling where it showed up. Also, these wire services like Rick Alert, they give you every month, they give you this file saying how many people clicked on that page and wanted to read it. Then at least the headline was so good in the lead that they wanted to read more. Okay, so my last slide shows what I would like you to take home from this talk. The most important thing for me is that you think about a message. Have you got any message? And then you choose the right target group, whichever that might be. Your colleagues, students, politicians, people with a lot of money in their pockets, or maybe the press. It's just different groups. And that you use the different instruments like brochures, web, social media, YouTube, and press releases. Finally, that this one does exist, but it's not the only one. Always try to communicate in a language that's easy to understand. Now you know what I'm talking about. And also important is that you make sure a journalist gets you right. Before you start an interview with a journalist, try to figure out who his audience is. Is he interested in more scientific explanations, or does he want a really, something that a broad audience will understand? And last but not least, do not expect the media to react the way you think it should. It might be different. They might cut you down, only have a short note. The headline might be made by somebody else. Your headline will not be used. It might be misunderstanding. But anyway, the good news in the end, more than half of the American scientists, I think the exact number was 54% of the American scientists, think that PR and press work is good for their career, so it might be worth it. Thank you. Any questions?
In terms of the previous slide, you talked about the accounts, how much of that? It seems, I know that you can do a lot of that through social media and also your own. How many people or how often is it done just without a service like
that? Well, Rick Alert offers that for free.
Okay.
Yeah, Rick Alert, you subscribe as an institution, you have to subscribe.
Okay.
It's about $300 a year. That is not so expensive. And this $300 include for the institution that they can post whatever they are. No, that's not true. I skipped that. The institution can can post the press releases, but there is a team of editors that check whether they are good journalism. And if they are sort of marketing related, they kick them out. So they just publish that. But that's all included in $300. And they also send you that every month, so you will see how many clicks you got. Alpha Galileo does the same. The commercial analogon to that is the PR Newswire. That can be also used by companies, but that's a lot more expensive. I don't think that many scientific institutions use that because it's just, they charge you by the release.
It's more like advertising
then. Well, they say that it's real journalism. I mean, the PR Newswire is part of the big DPA you don't know that one? They try to They cover the US, they cover Europe. It's like AP, but it's a European analogon, I would analogon, I would say, and a daughter of this big big company, yeah, concern. You say concern? Big company is this Newswire, and that's commercial. I think they feel like journalism. But it's. I mean, if somebody pays me a lot of money for each release, I do. It's commercial.
Thank you, Martin.